Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Amen. Good morning, church. Y'all go ahead and take a seat. Last week, we started a series in Isaiah chapter 6, and been thinking about it all week as I prepare for this morning. We see Isaiah brings us into the throne room of God, and we see these angels, these mighty seraphim that are there flying with two wings, covering their faces, and hollering out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory." And it occurred to me this week that this worship service has been going on for eternity past. Scripture promises it'll go on for eternity future. And the cool thing is, church, that each day that we gather together, every Sunday when we get together during our two services, we are joining in that worship service. We don't start worship at 10:30. We join in the worship that's happening in the throne room of God. So can I just say thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Thank you for coming and us gathering together corporately to sing worship, sing holiness back to God, sing the promises of our God over each other. I'm so excited to be here this morning, to have the opportunity to fill in for Pastor Bobby while he's preaching somewhere else this morning. So if y'all will be praying for him as he's delivering that message. But if we haven't met yet, my name is Pastor Brian. I get to serve and I get to fill in from time to time when Pastor Bobby's not here. I'm really excited, and we're going to continue our series on purpose, as we continue to look at Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to go ahead and reread all 8 verses that we read last week. If you missed last week, let me encourage you, as Brian Lewis said, we have the Brian situation this morning. So as Brian Lewis said, go online and go find that series. We're really picking up right where Pastor Bobby left off. I'll touch on a little bit so you're not left out. But it's a time for us to see this commissioning service that Isaiah goes through and see what can we take from that? What can we apply to that? And I think there's a message here for all of us in the room. But before I get there, just as you're continuing to turn and love seeing the notebooks open and people getting ready to lean in, today's a really important day in my household. Our oldest turns 4 today, which is really wild. And tomorrow we'll celebrate 4 years with her. She has joined our family by way of adoption. So 4 years ago right now, we didn't know she was alive, but we didn't know she existed. And so it's November 10th that we got the phone call from the adoption agency. They called us and said, "Hey, your daughter was born." And we're like, "This is not the process you told us we were going to go through. Like, there would be a little bit more time." They're like, no, she's waiting on you right now." So, you know, it was just an incredible moment. And to be honest, church, I felt ready, right? Like 6 years of trying to become parents, 2 years in the adoption process, I was confident. I wasn't arrogant. I knew there was some stuff I needed. Our caseworker made clear that I did not know what I was getting myself into, but I still felt ready, church. And we got home and we're getting the house in order and we're getting stuff in the car. We're calling moms and dads. They're trying to find more tissues because we're just running through the tissues left and right. Amanda Bell comes over to teach me how to put in a car seat. I really wasn't ready, but the point is I felt ready. We're driving up there, the long list of names, none of them seemed to fit. We're coming up with a new name. I felt ready. Calling siblings, "Hey, you're going to be an aunt, you're going to be an uncle." I felt ready. Walk in there and see my wife literally step into the room and step into motherhood. Greatest blessing of my life. And I'm like, "Man, we are so ready for this." And then she puts Ellie's in my arms and I go, "I'm not ready." Y'all ever been there? You had something, and maybe it wasn't parenthood. Maybe it was students. Maybe it was an exam, right? You're like, "I got this." And you sit down and you open it up and you go, "I don't got this." Maybe it was a presentation at work or a promotion or first day. There's moments, right, where we feel confident and then we feel the weight of the moment and we go, "I could have done a little more preparing for this. I could have done a little bit better." And we're going to talk about Isaiah here. I think Isaiah at the core kind of felt that same way that we feel in those moments, obviously on a very larger scale. And so if you've got your Bibles, you're ready to go, let's dive into God's word. Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to go ahead and read all 8 verses that we read last week, but we're going to focus on verses 5-7 this morning, okay? "So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This is where we're going to focus, church. Verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt was taken away and your sin atoned for. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for these pictures, these scenes, these narratives that allow us to see who you are. See what your character is, that we can learn more about you and thereby learn more about who we are. Father God, I just pray that you'll remove me entirely. The Holy Spirit will speak through me. God, that you'll give us a message this morning and that we will have ears to hear, but foots, but feet to step confidently into what you're calling us to do. We love you, Lord God, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah's story here is going to show us two aspects about God. The first being that God is the Lord of glory. As Pastor Bobby preached last week on the holiness of God, God's holiness is pure, perfect, and completely separate from sin, right? And it's not just that he's merely sanctified. It's not that he's just set apart from the rest of the world. It's not just that he's sinless, because the seraphim are there in glory, worshiping, and they're sinless, and God is still supreme above the angels. But his holiness is a supreme perfection and purity that reaches through his omnipotence, his wisdom, and his judgment. And as Isaiah takes in the whole scene, and as he's focusing in on what he's hearing, what he's feeling, what he's probably smelling, and maybe even a little bit tasting, and he's just, there's no distraction, looking at the glory of God, at that moment, he feels most painfully his own sinfulness. And he cries out against himself. In verse 5, we got that word, woe, right? Now, I said woe the first time I saw my wife, but that was a W-H-O-A. This is a W-O-E. This is almost more of a woe, I am ruined. Woe in this context is more of a judgment and a curse. He's literally cursing himself, and he feels like he's coming undone at the seams of the very molecular level. And I think most of us would agree that Isaiah was rightly to be afraid. I think sometimes that when we really need to stop and think about it, we talk about having a reverent fear of God, but to be in the presence of the holiness of God, wow. I mean, even as angels who came from the throne of God with a message directly for an individual, we read so many times, and it's almost like their first word is, don't freak out, don't be afraid. So now for Isaiah to be in this place, Isaiah is terrified. He's rightly afraid that the fire of the Lord will lash out against him and purify that heavenly scene. But here's the second thing we learn about God, church. We learn that God's not just the Lord of glory, he's the Lord of grace. And instead of the fire from that altar removing him completely, instead, the seraphim goes over, grabs the tongs. And if I'm that seraphim, I always click them twice because, guys, we know that's the only way they're going to work. He grabs a coal from the altar and he takes it to Isaiah. And to the very, what Isaiah believes is the center of his sin, which is also going to be the primary tool that God uses in his calling, he goes and he puts that coal on the lips of Isaiah and gives this declaration: your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. And this declaration must have brought so much relief, comfort, and even confidence to Isaiah. It's interesting because once this happens, we don't hear Isaiah freaking out anymore. He's standing there, seemed to be in confidence. But what makes clear about the Lord of grace is that God makes clean what's been stained. And then he doesn't just call the qualified, he qualifies the call. This altar, such an interesting picture to me. The altar would have been used to give sacrifice and in order to bring worship to God, and yet a piece of that altar is taken to purify Isaiah, to remove his sin so he can stand confidently, boldly before God to answer the call to ministry that God's going to call him to in verse 8, which we'll talk about more next week. It's a really cool picture, church. Isaiah 6 becomes this incredible picture of the gospel before Jesus. And I think it's really interesting that we don't have to like fear a scene like that. We don't have to be like Isaiah. We don't have to go and worry about standing before God because we have Jesus who came to live the life we couldn't live and die the death that we deserve so that we may have life. I think Paul would write this scene. This is what came to mind as I thought through this scene. And Paul's writing to the church in Corinth in the New Testament, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Paul writes this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." I just love this passage. I think in the same way that once the hot coal touched Isaiah's lips and his sin was gone, his sin was atoned for, he didn't have to worry about his iniquity, the moment we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the moment we surrender to his lordship, the Holy Spirit changes us at a foundational level. The old is gone. The new is here. There's nothing left of what I was. My mind and my heart have been transformed. My identity has changed. I'm no longer a traitor to God's throne, but I'm now a child of God. And Paul takes us to the next level with 2 Corinthians, that you're not just adopted into the family, but then you're then called to go on mission as an ambassador for Christ, right? An ambassador, someone who represents a king in a foreign land. That's what the gospel is. It's based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And we can stand confidently on passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When we truly trust the gospel, when we surrender to it, when we understand what it's calling us to and what it means. Probably the most important that Isaiah's experience gives us, it's a visual lesson that a true vision of God's holiness will always lead to a conviction of sin. That's what started for each and every one of us. When we started our journey with Jesus, we had a moment where we were introduced to who God is, and we realized we wanted to be with him and that we needed a Savior in Jesus Christ to join with him. And so this magnificent story of Isaiah calls on us to understand the holiness of Jesus and how undone we are by the pollution of our sins. It calls on us to understand the only atonement there can ever be for our sins is that which God works by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Which brings us to an interesting balance. That when we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, it humbles us. When we realize there's nothing we can do to earn the love of God. And that for some of us, we realize there's some things that we feel like are really huge hurdles that would keep us away from God. When we understand the gospel, that we're the one sheep out of 100 that Jesus runs after. When we understand the gospel, that Jesus gave up glory, left this scene in order to come live the life we couldn't live, die the death we deserve, like it should humble us. When we look into the face of who God is, we're humbled. But when we read through the New Testament and we see that this comes with a change and a stamp, that there's been a transformation. There's been a change in title. That we're not who we were, that we're something brand new, and we can live in a newness of life. We can follow Jesus. We can surrender to him. There's a confidence in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Right? There's a moment where he's hanging on the cross and he says, "It is finished." And in that moment, our sins were paid for. So when we surrender, the Holy Spirit comes in and begins this process called sanctification. And church, that's why we have to fix our eyes on God every day. There's too much good, bad, and ugly trying to distract us in this world. We also have an enemy stalking us like a lion, ready to pull our attention to everything else around us, within us, above us, below us, and not up to God, the Most High. I want to give you three things we can do to help us keep our eyes on Jesus. Number one, we preach ourselves the gospel of Jesus every day. Maybe even, if you're like me, multiple times a day. Just reminding ourselves that the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not enough. But it took the Son of God to do it for me. And scripture is clear that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, that I am saved. Based on his decreeing, it is finished. Secondly, we remind ourselves of our story, right? That's really easy. Maybe you've never sat down and kind of wrote it out or thought through it, but I always see it. I'm a visual learner. I see it kind of in three columns. There's my life before Jesus, the moment I met Jesus, gave my life to Jesus, and then how my life has been different since then. So if we preach ourselves the gospel, if we remind ourselves of our story, I think the Old Testament can summed up into the Israelites forgot how good God was and they tried to do something on their own. And that happens over and over and over again. And then thirdly, what we need to do is just need to dive in and marinate ourselves in the Word of God. We've got to remind ourselves what the mission is. That the mission that God has called for us is to see others reconciled to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how much more grace-filled does he get to be that we were once enemies of the throne, now we're adopted as kids. We're not just forgiven, we're adopted into the family, and then we're sent on mission so that others can experience the hope that we have found. That only starts with true vision of God's holiness that will lead to a conviction of sin. I sent in men's class last week. I'm not there right now because I'm with y'all. That's fine, but it's a great place. Guys, if you haven't gotten involved with some of our men's stuff, God's doing some incredible things through those ministries. But one of our deacons leading the class last week reminded me that God's word is a mirror. It's a lot of things, but it's a love letter, but it's also a mirror. And in that process of sanctification, if I commit to reading God's word, studying God's word, memorizing God's word, I'm going to start to see things about me that are not God pleasing. I'm going to see attitudes and thoughts. I'm going to see behaviors, things that are sinful, things that want to bring me away from God. And as the Holy Spirit convicts me of those things, I can surrender those things at the cross of Christ. And church, that's the reality. We shouldn't fear conviction. I think sometimes we get scared. It's uncomfortable. Conviction can be very uncomfortable. But conviction is not condemnation, right? We're God's kids. It's a disciplinary act to make us more like Christ. So as we grow in our knowledge and faith, so we will also grow in the confidence of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the work of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And this can be hard, y'all. We know there's so many distractions. There's things that we have to do, things we need to do, things we may not want to do. And they could be good things, right? That we have responsibilities. But we also live in a very busy culture, in a very I've got to get it all culture. And there's things happening around us that we see through so many different views that can just keep our eyes off of Jesus. And those things are external. But I also think there's three distractions when it comes to finding this balance between humility and confidence. Right? We're humbled before God when we understand who he is and who we are. Then we're in need of a Savior. We're in need of the Holy Spirit as a counselor and a communicator to change our hearts, to make us more like Christ so we can go on mission. And that should lead to a confidence that I'm not having confidence in myself. I have confidence in the work of God in my life and the work of God in the world, that I'm joining in the work that he's already doing. I'm partnering with other believers around me. I'm joining in the body of Jesus Christ to see others reconciled to the ministry of God. So Isaiah has it a little bit easier, right? As terrified as he is, the shocked moment that he's standing in the throne room and he's looking up at God, but still everything in that room is pointing him to God. There's the magnitude of God just being in the room, but you've got angels, and as they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," like the building starts to shake. His focus is there, but for us, on this earth, our wallets are calling our attention, our calendars calling our attention, our good things, things that we want, things that we're, and then we're still tempted to do things we don't want to do. By reading God's word, by getting in community, by coming and just singing praises together, right? It helps us to put our eyes on the prize. But I believe there's three other distractions. I'm sure there's more, but the moment Pastor Bobby asked me to preach on this Sunday on this topic with this, which makes it a lot easier, church, I'm really owe Pastor Bobby a thank you. When he's like, "Hey, I want you to do 5 through 7, I'm doing 1 through 4, do it on November 9th. Here's your theme, and here's kind of the home." I'm like, "Yeah, this is great. This is awesome." But since that moment, this has kind of popped in my head. There's three areas that I think look like humility, but end up being just a great distraction from confidence. Number one is the comparison game. We talk about the comparison game a lot here at City Hope Church. And a lot of times when we talk about it, it's just kind of in that initial distraction, right? It's just things in the world. We see people's highlight reel that's been curated, the things they want us to see, right? It makes it feel a certain way. Maybe it's sometimes jealousy. Maybe it's envy. Maybe sometimes feeling left out. Maybe it's just excitement. Maybe it's something else. When we talk about the comparison game here, in this false sense of humility, I think about it in these times. This is how I've heard it in the church. "Well, I don't preach like Pastor Bobby. Therefore, God must not be calling me to do something. Well, I don't sing like Pastor Joseph." And what we're doing in that moment is we're taking our eyes off of God and what he's called us to do. Because he's created us, he's created our passions, he's created our personality, and he's given us a purpose. But what we do is we take our eyes off of God and we start looking at everybody else around us and we start comparing ourselves to them and go, I can't, and it eats at our confidence. And it sounds like humility, but it's a false humility, church. It's pride wearing a Halloween mask is what it is. Because it takes our eyes off of Jesus. And Paul addresses this in his letter, and he starts talking about the body of Christ. Like, just like you have a body of different parts, so does the body of Christ have different parts. And the eye can't say, "Well, I'm not an ear, therefore I'm not important," and pluck itself out. That wouldn't be good for the body. So when we keep our eyes on the prize, church, when we dive into God's word and we start to learn about who God is, we learn about who we are, we do that in community, we begin to learn that God has given us some talent, some natural gifting ability, that we have some spiritual gifts, that we have things that we're passionate for, things that prick our heart that we want to be a part of, that things that we would cry for, bleed for, celebrate for, and God wants us to step in with confidence to use what he's given us in order to serve his purpose. Secondly is the shame game. Shame game kind of goes like this. The shame game takes our eyes off of God. It puts us on something either in our lives or in our past. I want to be clear about this right now. We're not talking, if you're in the middle of something right now, a hurt, a challenge, I'm not talking, if you're in the middle of healing, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the ones who are focused about something from 20 years ago. I'll never forget a moment in my life. It was sin. But I was serving in a leadership position, and I went to my pastor, and I just said, "Hey, I gotta find victory over this." And he was like, "Brother, man, I think you have found victory over this. I think the enemy's just trying to keep you from moving forward." I was focused on something in my life, something that I'd already asked for forgiveness of, something I'd already repented of. I was focused on the back. I wasn't focused on the freedom that God promises. I wasn't focused on the hope, right? And sometimes we do that. We say, I'm not qualified for this role in ministry because I've done this. I've got these scars. I've got this story. I've got this path. I'm not. And God says, I'm calling you. And the problem with that part of the shame game, church, is we think we know better than God. Well, God can't use me. And God's like, yes, I can. I want to use you. So if we're not comparing ourselves to others, looking around instead of looking to God, if we're not falling into kind of the shame game where we're looking at our past or looking at ourselves instead of looking to God, then sometimes what we do is we feel like we have to earn it. Again, it sounds really humble to say, I've got to do this, this, and this. I've got to check these boxes off in order to be prepared. I've got to work on this area of my life. That sounds really, really great. But in the same way that coal touched Isaiah's unclean lips and now made him qualified for ministry as a prophet, this can be a distraction. This says, I've got to earn it. And God says, you can't earn it. My son did everything necessary on the cross. When he cried out, it is finished. All you have to do is bend the knee. All you have to do is submit. Church, the gospel calls us. It, when we understand it truly, it will humble us. And I think that's one of those marks of a Christ follower is humility. It's understanding that it's not about us. It's all about God. But the confidence in what Jesus has done on the cross and what the Holy Spirit's doing in us and what the Bible declares to be true over each and every single one of us, that the old is gone, the new has come, that God has called us to be ambassadors, to be representatives of the kingdom and the area of influences we have. And that may be students, that may be on campus. Everybody, that may be at your job. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be with family members that we're called to stand in confidence, to go on mission. Jesus has done all the work. All we have to do is surrender and obey. And when we do that, we show how much we trust the gospel. It's a hard thing to maintain. We do that by the grace of God, but we're most successful that when we keep our eyes on God. So I want to give you a couple practical things before I just send you to do it on your own this week. Go ahead and some of you say have your notebooks out. I want you to do a couple things. If you don't have anything out, get your phone out. Number one, I want you to do this. I want you to write down what the gospel is. I'm going to give you a really easy gospel that's really hard to live by. We can't do it without God. The gospel is, because this is what we do. We need to preach ourselves the gospel every day. So here's the gospel. I'm going to do it in three words. Jesus in my place. Let me give you a little bit more than that. The gospel is that Jesus lived the life that you could not live. Try it. Take some time this week. Just do the Ten Commandments. See how well I promise you can come out 0 for 10 every time. Ephesians chapter 2 is by grace that we have been saved so that no one can boast. He lived the life we couldn't live, died the death that we deserve to die. Romans 3:23. And we have new life. The second tool I want to give you in helping you to put your eyes on Jesus this week is your testimony. It's your story. Brian Lewis talked about that just with a bracelet, it opened up an opportunity to share his story. Now, this doesn't have to be a life story with super, super a lot of details. This could be very simply of, this was my life before Jesus. This was the moment I surrendered to Jesus, and this has been my life since Jesus. Distractions are hard. They'll help us. Distractions will lead us away from remembering the truth of the gospel. Distractions will lead us from forgetting what God has done in our life. That miraculous moment when we went from dead to life, when we went from being a traitor to being a son or daughter of God. I'm going to give you a little bit of time here at the service. And I encourage you to do this. Find a time during the day, every day this week. Honor system, we're not going to ask you to bring a report card next Sunday. But that you would take time just to focus on the gospel. Focus on your story. Use that as you read God's word. To put the mission. mission and vision in front of you so that you would have the confidence to go live on mission for God. I love you, church. Let me pray for you. Let me give you some time just to kind of think over that, ponder that, and then we're going to sing. And Brian Lewis is going to come up and close us out. Heavenly Father God, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. God, it's by your wounds that we've been healed. We can think back to the moment where Jesus cries out to Telestai, it is finished. The only thing we have to do is believe and surrender, and the Holy Spirit will continue to do the work. God, we just pray that you will remind us of the truth of that, that you've done everything necessary, and you want us to live in confidence that's based in you, and what you've done at the cross, and what you're doing in our lives. Your holy character. We love you, Lord God, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.